Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast, 111 Productions, iHeartRadio, iHeart Podcast, iHeart Media, and we're gonna get into this rather.
Scott.
This episode is going to be discussed amongst four of these talking heads that you see before you. But first, I want to say I'm excited to go to Tupelo, Mississippi, the home of Elvis Presley.
I keep trying to figure out what song is about Tupelo, but I think it's a Tim McGraw song.
Probably, maybe.
I think so.
And so I'm going to be there at the Tupelo Con. March 16th through 18th, so come on down.
People can come see you to talk about season 6, because guess what? What?
And if you want to get the new line of Gilmore Girls coffees, the Luke's Diner Blend, the Stars Hollow Blend, and the Dragonfly and Talk Fast Blend, go to the Warner Brothers Studio Store in Burbank, California, where it is exclusively sold. If you want Scotty P's Big Mug Coffee, email us at support@scottyp.com and we will get a bulk order out to you.
I'm glad you're telling this all now, because it's about to get real.
It's about to get real, folks, because I think we have some very engaged podcasters, some podcasting talent that's fully engaged. What do we think, kids? Well, should we synopsize first? Hang on. Let's keep the horses in the barn. Let's synopsize.
Really, but we need to address that this is the final episode with your original creators. That's kind of weird.
And it's called Partings. So,
there's winky,
your clue.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, we're parting, so this is our parting gift. Anyway.
And do you all remember? Wait, before we get into it, I have to ask you a few questions. Do you remember that they were leaving? Like, did you guys know at this point, or did you not find out until a little bit later, like in the summer?
You know, that's a good question. I don't remember. I don't remember if we knew or if I knew.
Hmm. Because I wonder how everyone felt.
I'm going to have to jog my memory a little bit, but I don't remember distinctively, you know.
Knowing already.
Yeah.
Which I could imagine maybe you didn't, because it, you know, maybe they thought it would get resolved.
Yeah, pretty big blow when they didn't get the two-year deal, which is standard with a hit show at Warner Brothers. And they just felt snubbed and they said bye-bye.
Okay, well, beautifully shot episode also, I will say. It was shot, it looked like a movie to me. I thought it was,
It doesn't look like a movie.
I disagree.
It does not look like a movie.
There was a lot of Stars Hollow. There was a lot of new things, like angles and things we hadn't seen.
Shot on a potato.
There was parts of Stars Hollow we'd never seen before. I'm just saying.
There was a lot of movement, I would say. Yes. Like the camera was moving.
I digress. It was a rather attractive looking episode. Yes. It really did pop.
And different.
Well, you know, it was the goodbye. It's like, before we synopsize, I will say this. Because there's been a lot of conjecture, a lot of theory as to what this last episode really meant, what Amy and Dan were thinking. What are all the hidden messages in this episode? Are they slamming the fan base? Like, we're going to ruin these characters. We're going to ruin this show. I don't know.
I don't think so much.
You know what I think? You know what dawned on me watching this episode was, I think they were saying, we're really good writers. We're great writers.
Yep.
And we're going to leave this here for you. Try to match this, because you're not going to be able to, because our talent runs amok and we charge accordingly. So we're going to go on and do great things, which they have done. They have that confidence. They know how good they are.
Yeah.
Because you can't write like that and not know how good you are. And I think that's really what it was. It's like, we're going to give you this treat. Bye-bye. Enjoy. And you're not going to see anything better than this. And that's kind of how I felt about it. I mean, the ending I know is extraordinarily controversial.
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. But Danielle,
because I have a hot take.
Okay. No, you're going to melt out.
We're going to hot take it. All right. This is season 6, episode 22, the finale, Partings. Air date May 9th, 2006. And the synopsis is, Logan graduates from college and Rory throws him an epic goodbye party as he takes off for London to work for his dad. Emily and Richard set up Christopher at Friday night dinner, and Luke and Lorelai continue to be distant. But as she realizes she needs to take matters into her own hands, she gives an ultimatum. But the outcome lands her in the arms of her ex.
Oh.
And town troubadours flood Stars Hollow, hoping to get discovered.
So we start this off at Suki's. We do this whole super quiet routine.
That was a good scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really contrasted Lorelai's life in the present with what she really wants.
And funny with Suki, funny.
Mm-hmm.
The way they did it, just zoomed in on her face. Mm-hmm. A lot of face acting in this episode. With the funny bit, because that is exactly how parents are. Oh, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Like, and it's so loud. Bang, you know, everyone's... It was really... That was a 10 out of 10 for me to start. I was like, it was different. It wasn't too long.
Right. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was a perfect tone. It really captured Lorelai's angst.
Yes, I thought so too,
Her internal thoughts, and it contrasted where she was in her life where Suki is.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
Without Lorelai having to say a word.
Yeah.
That is great writing.
I thought it was interesting, like you said, Scott, like she did the whole thing without saying a word and conveyed the idea that she was sort of in her own little bubble, like her own little world, existing by herself, but yet still with other people. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty powerful. And then it happened again at the end. If you like in the very last scene, it was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say anything.
I didn't realize that till you just said it right now. Ooh, you're right. Wow.
By the way, in my Scotty P's Big Mug coffee mug, I am having a cup of the Jamaican Me Crazy, and I am in heaven right now. So good.
Yeah, you actually look pretty happy drinking that. I've never had a cup of coffee, but
oh my God.
Who cares? Yeah, that is a really cool note, Suzanne. You are right. We'll talk about that as we get there. But yeah, I mean, I think right from the start, they sucked me in. And I was like, oh,
well, we frame the main narrative right there. Bang. Mm-hmm. Here we go. And then what they do within that framework was mildly entertaining, quite entertaining, stupendously entertaining. All right. So now we're in Stars Hollow. Taylor.
Can I make one note?
Yes, please.
One thing Amy I did think was interesting about this episode, and I'll say it now. Say an episode's 44 minutes, right?
40.
Is it 40?
20 minutes of commercials.
Okay. I think it's still 42. We'll figure it out.
40.
Okay, we'll go with 40 because you're the boss. So I would say in this episode of meaty content, we had 35. There was a lot of filler with troubadours.
So many troubadours.
I didn't mind, but it was
so damn funny.
But it was a lot. It was a significant amount.
Oh man.
So that I felt like, here's what I'll say.
Beaver ate my thumb.
There wasn't a wasted scene of the rest, right? So there wasn't a scene that I would toss or a wasted moment of the 35 minutes.
I think what you're trying to say is it was a perfect balance of bizarre comedy, straight comedy, dramedy, and drama.
Yeah.
I don't know if I liked the amount of troubadours. I was okay with like three scenes, but when it was every single scene, it was just too much for me. It was too much.
I liked the troubadours because they were all like actual groups. Like it was Sparks and it was Sonic Youth.
There was Sparks.
Right, exactly.
As soon as they came on, I'm like, Sparks. And I didn't know whether I was right, but there they were.
Dan Palladino was in there. I liked the troubadours.
The return of Marilyn Ricecum.
Oh, she's hysterical.
Her Volvo song.
Rhyming Hawaiians with crying and everything. I mean, come on.
It was fine, but it was a lot. It was a lot. You guys. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
But
you had to have something happy going on to distract you from the rest of the insanity.
Suzanne French for the win. Thank you.
Can I also say, exactly, as we dig into this, sometimes I'm wishy-washy on her, but I'm going to say Alexis Bledel.
Oh, bravo.
This was probably her best acting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what do I know? I'm just a rando person who they gave a microphone to, but
who thinks that shows are 44 minutes?
I think they are, but that's
unbelievable.
When you watch on Netflix, it's definitely 43, but I don't know if that's because the
starting credits,
yeah, and the flashback, you know, like right, so maybe the actual episode is 40.
That you're making me crazy is making me crazy.
Okay, so continue, Scott. Let's get into it.
All right, so now we're in Stars Hollow. Taylor is walking down the street, and he's noticing that, you know, Grant Lee Buffalo is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another troubadour singing, and he was doing a pretty darn good job. It was a pretty nice little song with some nice changes in that song. So I'm a songwriter, and I check it out, and I'm like, yeah, that's a nicely structured song with a nice
little chorus. My note was a lot of background actors got to talk.
Yeah. Okay. So then Taylor, you know, so he notices this, and this is our first tease of the change in the troubadour. I don't think we don't find out here that Grant Lee Buffalo is going off to open for Neil Young.
Yeah. I started to assume it because he said that he was going.
That was in the last episode,
right?
Wasn't
it was a prior episode, right?
Yeah. In the last episode, we learn he's going to.
Right.
Because
right.
he bumps into Suki and Jackson. So we sort of are like.
I didn't remember that, which is probably why I enjoyed all these troubadours so much. Because mm-hmm. what's going on?
That was a nice scene for Taylor. And then
oh, God,
there was yeah. a lot of background actors talking to him, which normally doesn't happen. So I was like, oh they speak. Whoa.
Taylor was so great in this. He made me laugh so hard. His shocked and outraged reactions are just beautiful. And then we have Rory and Logan graduating. Yep. Logan's graduating. He's got his cane. He's walking around like Charlie Chaplin a little bit. I think on the last time we see Logan walking away before he goes to the car to go to the airport to go to London, I think we do a little homage to Chaplin. I thought that was a little trampy thing there. But anyway, what do we think of the graduation stuff?
Well, thought it was a little racy that they're going through the camera and
she's
says,
got naked
that's
pictures
my
of
naked
them.
Butt. Yeah, she naked has butt. Naked right. photos of Logan. I thought, oh, wow.
Yeah,
that was a
yeah. yeah. The nature of their relationship.
I definitely was like, wowza, okay. Also, mm-hmm. it kind of gave me a visual of like, do I want that or no?
I think you do. Come on, admit it. You like him.
I mean, I love Matt Zuckery.
Well, so you like, you would
so,
like
I mean, I was like, ooh, I think it
you'd
gave
like
me
to
a
be
strange
Rory,
visual.
Would you, wait a minute. Would you like to be Rory for a day or a week? With Logan.
Would like to be Lorelai, but I wouldn't mind being Rory dating Zuckery because
so
I feel
like you like Luke better than Logan. Because if you're Lorelai for a day,
oh my gosh, that is a question for me.
You just walked right in. You just right in. You walked right into something.
Because at the time I was crushing because it's 20 years ago, so I was a young. I was right in the middle, right? Because I was 30, and I was definitely crushing on. Both. I was like, oh, I love them both.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought a little racy, but I was very pleased with this. Suzanne, Danielle, like, how are you guys feeling?
I liked Logan and Rory so much this episode, and it's annoying that they get ripped apart at the end of it, in my opinion. Like, I thought finally they're kind of making sense.
You know, isn't it interesting how Lorelai wanted to hear a don't go from Luke and Logan wanted to hear a don't go from Rory.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And neither of them got their satisfaction.
Yeah.
Right. Hence the name of the episode.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Parties.
I don't blame Rory, though.
I don't either. We have a lot to talk about.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
All right, so now we see Sparks. All of a sudden, Sparks is on the duo, the musical duo, who did very well in the 80s. Sparks jamming in front of Dozy's Market, and Taylor comes out with hysterically funny, exasperated gesticulations.
Did you notice that Taylor called Luke Lucas?
I wrote that.
Yes. He does. My favorite thing.
I literally wrote down in my notes, does he always do this? Yes. I don't ever recall it. Okay.
Yeah, he calls him Lucas.
It's very fatherly of him, too. I really like that. And it's such a subtle thing, but yet I love it.
So this is when we see Sparks, and then, you know, Ted Rooney rhyming with Hawaiian and crying and lying and just being his cool self, man.
Is this where we get Mary Lynn and her Volvo song?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's toward the end.
Okay.
Yeah. And is that's an original song she wrote? Because it's very
funny. It sure seems like it.
It's very funny. It's very funny. Okay, so now we're inside Luke's, and Taylor's outrage continues as he comes to a completely disinterested Luke on the phone, saying, this is the height of my interest. Get away from me. I'm not interested in anything you have to say. He goes to Kirk. And what do we think about that? Kirk has some very funny lines here.
Yeah, it was all good.
Mm-hmm. This is one
That was a laugh out loud moment for me, because I'm a big Monkees fan, so when he said, who's Neil Young, is one of the Monkees,
he wrote Last Train to Clarksville. Sure he did.
Yeah, that's right. I was like,
well, it's not Neil Young. And then we have Taylor comparing the troubadours to somebody who he thinks is supremely talented, Pat Boone.
Oh my God.
He says, if you people don't leave right now, because otherwise I'll call the authorities and you'll be confronted with water hoses and canines. So bye-bye, right? one of the greatest Taylor moments, perhaps in recent memory. Very funny. And not taking nothing away from Pat Boone. He was an amazing artist.
I was a Debbie Boone. Remember? You Light Up My Life.
Oh, still yeah. Still is he?
Yeah, Pat Boone's around. Remember when he had his like heavy metal day?
Did he really?
Mm-hmm.
He had heavy. He went into heavy metal.
But like at 80, like when he was old.
What?
He, like, suddenly,
what?
I remember him like a leather vest. Oh, yeah.
Oh, come
Google
on.
It.
That's
Pat
great.
Boone doing metal. What was that a Pat Boone hit? Does anybody remember?
I just have a feeling it's something like A Smile on Your Face.
Oh my God, let's see if you're right. Hold on.
I don't think I'm right.
This will save us from doing this in pop culture.
A Smile
Pat
on Your
Boone
Face.
Hits.
Love Letters in the Sand.
Speedy Gonzales. April Love. Moody. No, I'll Be Home. Wow.
No Smile on Your Face.
Pat Boone Age. Let's do that. Pat Boone Age. Whoa, 89 years old. Good for Pat Boone.
He's still kicking it,
good
man.
For Pat
I like
Boone.
It. He's still out there rocking.
So I also noticed that horse statue behind Taylor. I don't know why I'd never noticed it so prominently as I did in this episode. I was like, wow, that's quite a statue.
Yeah. Yeah, it was there all the time. All right, now we're outside of Lorelai's house.
Very zoomed in shot of the mailbox.
Right. And she calls Rory, and Rory is post graduation and staying away from the Mitchums and the Huntsburgers, mm-hmm. and letting Logan do his thing. What do you guys think of this?
Here's my note on it. Lorelai, because I've been in that position where you're heartbroken and you're having to fake it for somebody. And I thought she really expressed that so well. Like the way we saw her, not the way Rory was hearing her, although Rory was like, what's going on? She seems so heartbroken.
When Maury was like, "Are you okay?" And she was like, "Yes."
Yeah.
That was good.
Great.
Her head, no. And then when she hangs up, it's that pain that we've all felt when you're like, I am in so much pain and I just faked it so hard. Yeah. Right. So I thought that was portrayed so well in that scene.
Keep talking. I'm going to take my shirt off.
Ew.
No, there's one underneath. What do you mean, ew?
Just so everybody knows, we're making him stop. But he's got a lot. I worked out. Did you understand? Not like a long sleeve shirt on. He's just hot. But we all reacted like, that's because we're like brother and sister, all of us now. And it's just like, oh no, what? Between the butt talk and now. The best comeback, Scott, is I work out.
How dare you?
So good. So good. Yeah, she's in pain. Oof.
She has been in pain for the last few episodes, though, and hiding it the whole time, you know? Yeah, so exactly. It's not the first time.
Like, she's just tired. She's just so exhausted from all of the emotional
which I get
that she's been doing.
The only part I am not on Team Lorelai for is her weird antics of avoiding him.
With the, I think that's one of the next scenes, but with the, with Patty, I'm like, why are you involving everybody?
And who hides from their significant other? Like, that's freaking weird. I'm sorry. Yeah. Weird.
I'm going to recuse myself from this conversation.
Yeah. I mean,
why? You think it's weird too?
No, I've never been a woman, and I don't know how she's feeling.
Well, I have been for 50 years.
I should disqualify myself.
And I get all of it, except for, like, I literally would never be like, tell him I'm not here.
Yeah, and she's done that more than once.
To, like, the person I'm engaged to.
Yeah.
Weird.
It is so weird. And I feel like we've been seeing this for the last few episodes, and it's been building up, building up, building up. And finally there was a payoff this episode.
Weird.
Yeah. It's just, I hate how she's involving everyone in her business with Luke and being very high school about it.
But that's the nature of the show, right?
Her for that.
But that's, it's
community. It's Stars
Hollow. It's a small town. Everybody knows everybody's business. That's kind of the point of living in a place like that, because everybody's accountable for their behavior. And that's the charm. And if you want to call it a downside,
sure, fine.
A small town, but that's part of the charm of living in a small town. Everybody knows your business.
Sure, fine on that. But Lorelai, I expect better of her and the relationship than her hiding in Rory's bedroom and telling Patty to tell him I'm not here.
I agree.
I didn't really have that much of a problem with it. I think she's just trying to figure out what she's going to do now, because she's still trying to recover from the whole birthday party thing. And, you know, Luke is pushing her away again. And she's just trying to create kind of some space where she can
Then say I need space.
Yeah.
Well, but Luke, instead of lying about a staff meeting, lying about
a conversation with her, so now it's her turn to not have a conversation with Luke. Like, we can't say it's okay for him to act that way and then say it's not okay for her to act that
way.
But
he's never been like that with it. He's always like been pretty vocal, like, I'm figuring it out, or this is what happened.
Guys, no, he hasn't been.
He has never told her he has a meeting that he doesn't have. And he has never said to Caesar, tell her I'm not here. He has never done that.
Okay, but he's definitely avoided having a conversation with her.
No, he's avoided maybe addressing a certain topic. He's never avoided talking to her. When did you see him avoid talking to her? Or running away from her or hiding from her? I never saw that.
He just doesn't bring anything up, and he he just kind of avoids, or he's too busy to talk about it, or there is some avoid. I kind of agree with
that. I mean, she's just manifesting it differently than he does. He just avoids it by not talking about it, and she avoids it by physically removing herself.
Right.
It's weird.
He doesn't get super emotional about it.
She's being weird. Yeah. You don't have to agree.
I'm recusing myself from the discussion. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, everybody can be mad at Luke for for his part in this. But I am just saying, I don't like that she lied about the staff meeting. I don't like that she hid in the bedroom and said, tell him I'm not here. Like, that's mean.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. It's mean. And it's mm-hmm. it's high school-y. It's weird. But, you know, okay. We'll hear from everybody whether they agree or not.
All right. So are we, you know, but Miss Patty does say the longer the freeze out, the better the makeup. So, but don't wait too long, Lorelai. And then we have this third husband thing. And then
I think she
husband.
Listed four.
Oh my four, gosh. Then, so you know, many.
I had a opportunity to scratch Paul Anka's butt for an hour and what glory. And that reminded me of my fourth husband on the way. I mean, it's like, what is going on with like the butts in this episode? Anyway. All right. So now we're back to Logan and Rory. And Logan is being detained at the elevator by his father. Unexpectedly inconvenienced by his father's friends, and they're talking business, and Logan doesn't want anything to do with it. What do you guys think of this?
Logan's got a serious bar in that house. That was my first note. Yes. Like, wow, for a 21, 22-year-old, he's got a serious, like, bar set up.
He's
so
a rich
first
kid.
That.
He's one of the richest kids in the country. So yeah, he's gonna.
And
have
he throws
a
lot of parties,
bar.
So he's got to be well stocked.
And
yeah,
then
he's the guy.
My takeaway from this scene is more once Rory gets in the elevator. That's where I had thoughts.
Well, this is where you know these two agree with each other. They found common ground.
Yeah.
She didn't disagree with him.
No, and she finally sort of understood.
Yeah,
I think I'm not sure I disagree with him.
I think she like marched in there being like, I'm going to tell him what's what and I'm going to put him in his place. Right. And then once he actually started explaining himself, I think she realized this is also what I'm trying to do with Logan, mm-hmm. just differently.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the most poignant lines for me in that whole scene was that he's my son. I want him to do well.
Yeah.
And I want him to grow up and I want him to stop flinging himself out of planes or off of cliffs with makeshift parachutes. And I want him to get away from those idiot friends of his.
Yeah.
And those are all things she wants too.
How do you think he feels that his son was almost killed?
Right.
Almost killed himself practically.
I thought he was about to say, if you want to go with him, go with him. I don't care. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Rory finally understood, like, this has nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
She can go with him. He doesn't care.
Whether or not she was with Logan or not, he would be going to London this year.
Yeah. What's the big problem with her going?
She's not graduated. She has to finish school.
She can go to the London School of Economics. She can transfer to Oxford.
Correct. Or she could go for the summer. Right.
Give me a break.
Yeah. I agree. She could totally go with him for the summer.
Filling up the applications, Rory. Let's go. Get Richard and Emily involved. You're at Oxford now. You know, you're at Cambridge. Whatever, wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
Queen's College. Let's go ahead.
But what will that mean for the Rory building of astronomy? But anyway.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, good. Again, the 35 minutes of meat, every single word of it was meaty. That was a good scene.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I liked the scene between Mitchum and Rory. I think it was kind of a full circle moment. You see these two people like at feuding this whole season, and finally there's a level of common ground between the two of them that she can't deny anymore.
And I think it was one of the first times we've seen Mitchum vulnerable.
You
know, he escalated a little bit. He got a little heated at the end there, but that's his son. That's all I had to say. This is my son.
And he's just repeating what his father did.
Yeah. He loves his son. He's loving his son. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't look like it, but he cares.
Yeah.
He cares deeply. Very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. Anyway, so, and of course, you know, Rory thinks it's all about her. Do you really hate me that much?
Right. And then she gets a little, she gets sort of a you know.
He just basically,
wake up, girl.
Yeah. This he was like, you. Zip it. I need you to zip it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stop.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so now we're back in the Stars Hollow.
A very new angle of Stars Hollow, like I said, with Cliff the Postman. I'm not sure I've ever been on that street.
Cliff the Postman. I have some little behind the scenes here. Cliff the Postman is my stand-in. He was my stand-in.
No.
Cool tidbit. No way.
And he got his moment on the show.
Yeah, really cool.
And he's a really good actor, and he's a really good guy.
That's cool.
He wore platform shoes that were about 6 inches high.
Oh, because he's shorter than you?
He's a little shorter than me, yeah. Not a lot shorter, but he had to wear those platforms. And he's just, hardworking dude, good dude.
Cool. Well, he's great as Cliff the Postman, and we saw a new
Cliff
street.
The Postman. We want to see more of Cliff the Postman.
We have a question. This might be dumb, but maybe somebody listening has the same question. What does a stand-in do?
Do they block
the scenes for you?
No. We block the scenes, and then the stand-ins come in and stand there while they light the scene. The lighting takes a while. Lorelai had her own stand-in. I had my own stand-in. Rory had her own stand-in. They have to stand there and be still while the DP and the crew are lighting the scenes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they used Lorelai's stand-in was in this episode too, in the very beginning.
One of those people walking.
Yeah, when Taylor sees the first troubadour and he has a conversation with a woman walking the other direction, that was Lauren's stand-in.
I kind of like that they're like incorporating all of the crew.
Are they trying to get those people their SAG cards or something? That's what it feels like.
Well, give them a little extra money. They get a bump in pay and.
Season finale.
Get to put it on their resume. It's a nice thing. All right. Now.
Troubadours everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's just filled with singers. Hysterical scene.
Was that the one with the crane shot? I liked the crane shot of all the troubadours all over the square.
All over the place, And here's the interesting thing. A couple days ago, I just wrote a song about busking.
is busking what those guys are doing.
Yeah. You stand on a street corner and you play. I just finished a song.
I was just busking. Concerned.
It's my tribute to buskers. And then I see this episode and I say, oh my God.
I love it. My one concern was there was so many that it would it sound like a big mess?
Yes.
Because they weren't quite spread apart enough where I'm like, how am I going to hear you if you're already there?
I don't think they were concerned with that. I think they were just concerned with doing the joke well.
Filling the scene.
Yeah.
That's why it was good.
So now we're at Emily and Richard's and the unveiling of the building, the Rory Gilmore Astronomy.
The thing's covered on the coffee table, and I was
I'm going to throw a flag here. This is going to be.
I do too.
I'm going to throw a flag here. Okay, and you guys tell me if you agree with me. You know, Emily and Richard, high culture Gilmore, unveil the tackiest looking thing you ever see with the crazy looking fonts and
huge. Yeah,
that's
the sign
not
was a
something
tad
that they
big.
Would approve of.
The building was pretty.
This is my bone to pick.
Were horrendous. It really looked.
The sign was bad.
Yeah. They were saying it was a small settlement. To get a building made at a university, you're talking about millions of dollars.
But they got millions. They're adding their own money. I thought that's
if I was Rory, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, can you put that in my retirement fund?
Yeah, exactly.
We've already figured out they have like a couple hundred million, and that building's probably, what, 25 million. They're fine.
Yeah, and it was going to be open in like 6 months. I'm like,
that seemed fast.
But I think Richard gets the tax deduction if he donates the building.
Yeah. Otherwise, they've got plenty of dough. They got plenty.
My red flag was that they were talking about how they got this very nice settlement, but it hasn't even been a week since the surgery.
Right.
And anybody who has ever dealt with an insurance company knows that malpractice insurance is not going to pay out in like
Truth
5 days.
On that.
And
Truth
plus it's that. Like a little eye LASIK thing that didn't hurt her because she's fine now, right?
Right. Yeah, it's not like she lost
so
her
it's
eyeball.
Not like she's blind in one eye. And then now she has some other issues, and then you get a multi-million-dollar settlement. So, that's another flag, a couple flags on the scene.
But I have one more flag,
and
we haven't quite filled out the scene yet. But when Lorelai first walked in, Emily asks her if Luke was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, how are we?
So she, like, in Emily's head, she was knowing that potentially Luke and Christopher were going to be there at the same time.
Would that be terrible? Did they think they were going to go to blows? Do they even know that those two?
Maybe she was just doing it to look for some cover and not be suspected of setting them up.
I agree.
I think it was her way of saying, how are we?
No, but then why would her whole point of setting up Christopher this?
What? You think she wanted Luke and Lorelai to see that they're setting up?
I think she got what she wanted.
No, she knew Lorelai was going to be pissed about it. And then Emily could defend herself by saying, but I asked you at the front door if you would bring Luke. So, of course, I didn't set this up.
Well, I don't know.
But Christopher knew because in the bathroom, he says, I thought I was coming here to have dinner with you and Rory.
Right. I'm befuddled by why Emily is so hell-bent on setting up Christopher.
So that's exactly my point. I think she
had this motive. Is it to make Lorelai jealous?
Yes.
I don't crafty. I feel like nobody's that crafty.
Oh no,
Emily.
That's Emily. Emily's crafty. Very crafty.
Emily is really crafty, and that's a nice way of putting
she's
it.
She's CIA level. That's trade craft at working there. That's trade.
It started
craft
in the last episode when they were driving around in the giant SUV, and she's trying to think of like all these girls to set up Christopher with.
But you want to know my take on it?
Like, it doesn't make sense.
Here's my actual Occam's razor. Do you know Occam's razor? I'm obsessed with Occam's razor.
Yes.
It's the way they're getting Christopher back in the thing, right?
See, that's what I thought too.
It I'm was very just Occam's razor on it, right? Like we're trying to be all CIA. No, basically, she's just talking about Christopher all the time because the writers need a reason to get Christopher back in
for
the big payoff of the end.
Why can't Rory? Like, use Rory for that. That makes more sense.
Also, I actually think the payoff would have been even more iconic if we hadn't have had so much weird, gratuitous talk of Christopher and we didn't do this date setup, that we just see other stuff, right? And we see this implosion of Luke and Lorelai, and then all of a sudden she's at his door.
I agree.
That would have been more boom, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm. Because yeah, but then it was so like, then you don't get Melora Hardin. Crap? You don't get a psychologist.
Right.
The backseat therapy scene. You know what I'm saying?
True. Which was great. Melora Hardin was awesome in this episode.
She's awesome in everything she does.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll get to that. She's about to ding dong the doorbell.
Yeah, exactly.
First doorbell is Christopher.
Yeah. And then Christopher comes in. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
How do we feel? How do we feel?
You know, love Christopher, but I literally wanted him to walk back out. Like, please don't.
I was freaking stoked.
Please don't.
No, I was stoked because here's the thing. Whether you love Christopher or hate Christopher, he makes this show kind of juicy. There's a little something there that I'm like, oh, I love that bathroom scene with them, the two of them. Like, even if you hate him and he makes you cringe and you're like, I don't want them together, it's definitely like a great TV thing, right? Like, okay, well, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just get a sense of dread whenever he walks in.
Oh, I don't.
I know. I'm this so episode, like, what? I feel you on that.
I'm like, what, like, juice am I going to have happen?
Especially
now?
The bathroom scene where he's rubbing her arm.
Oh, my God. I liked it. And she did it first.
I don't want to jump ahead. But
she
I was
did
like,
it
ew.
First. She reaches out to his arm. I watched that three times because I was like, there's some touching here. I thought they were going to make out in the bathroom. Anyway, we'll get there.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody talks about the letters to scale. I also had my best line here. I think it's Lorelai. And she says, I love the portrait idea. Because she's
just
like,
I don't know. This is a perfect scene displaying the just outrageous talent of Amy and Dan Palladino.
Yeah.
Just so many great Lorelai quippy lines.
Yes. Yes.
Just killing it.
I totally agree.
Killing it.
I don't know if you guys watched Superstore, but the maid was in Superstore.
Oh no, that's funny. Good note.
Carol. Yeah.
Funny. The one that she's like, did I fire you?
Yeah.
Dude, how about Melora Hardin? Good casting.
Mm-hmm. Isn't she great?
Linny, which I'm like, of course her name's Linny. Her name's Carolyn Bates. Linny. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm like, that's so rich.
It's just so great. All right, so now, and the letters. I mean, come on. Those letters were just, it was just like.
Is it weird that they're eating paella? I don't know why. I was like, I never would have thought at a Friday night dinner they would have paella.
Well, they had spaghetti and meatballs last week.
Yeah. I would have preferred the spaghetti and meatballs.
Anyway, great scene.
Move. When she says, move to Lorelai, I'm like, oh my God.
Ripping the arm out of her socket to get her move.
Yeah.
Oh man.
A lot of great face acting, real quick. A lot of face acting here. Yeah, Lorelai and Christopher making the face like, oh my God, this is happening. You've been
It's really up. More, you know what really is? Let's just sort of hone in on this, Amy. It's eyeball acting.
Eyeball acting.
It's eyes.
You are correct. It's a lot of eyes. Sometimes a mouth. Sometimes a smirk.
But it's like it begins with a thought and it comes out of the eyes and it's energy and you read it and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And the eyeballs are a part of the face. So I guess you could broadly define it as face.
And Emily just pouring it on.
Thick. Oh my gosh. You look like a shampoo ad.
All right. So now we're in Stars Hollow again at night and there's more troubadours and there's a mom rocking with her two kids and jumping up and down.
Is this where we saw the police officer?
This is where we see Bonnie Fife, which was absolutely hysterical. There's a bus in the background.
Totally.
Unloading more troubadours from all parts of the United States. Absolutely hysterical. Officer Fife was genius.
And we get the real troubadour back.
And then Grantley Buffalo shows up and says, Tor, what are you talking about? I made $700 and I never got to meet Neil Young. Heart of gold, my ass.
Who sang The Beaver Ate My Thumb?
That was Dan Palladino in the flesh.
Legit.
And the guy on the bass, I think, was Dave Rogowski.
Oh, the real Dave Rogowski.
Yeah, right. God, what a great, this just wow. Such a, you know, this episode was so dense.
That, yes, like, that's what
you could not catch your breath.
That is what I'm saying. There was, that's why they gave us the troubadours, because it was time for us to,
in a sense, on multiple levels, this might be the best episode I've ever seen.
I don't disagree, sir.
I laughed and laughed throughout from beginning to end.
My God.
Well, I didn't quite laugh at the end, but it was a laugh riot. My wife came in and watched it with me. And
it was also juicy, you guys. Like, you don't have to love the end, but the end is a juicy cliffhanger.
Or yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
I have different thoughts.
You don't have to love it to love
beaver,
it.
A beaver ate my thumb. That's Dan Palladino. And what are we missing here?
I think we're heading back to the bathroom, right? When did we go to the bathroom?
Well, we've got Logan and Finn. Escorting Logan to his, and then Rory opens the door, and it's a London party. And she has a British accent, and
pretty decent,
right?
She looked real cute. She looked real cute,
right?
I like the outfit.
And, I think we skipped the bathroom scene.
Yeah, we did. I think the bathroom scene comes first. I think you're right.
What bathroom scene?
The bathroom scene where he was touching her.
You talked about it. You talked about how repulsed you were by it.
Everybody I've got a lot got more to grossed talk about.
Out, and we don't want to dwell on that gross
I
out
do.
Scene.
Okay, I do. Ahead. I've got a lot more to say about that
I
scene.
Thought you just wanted to pass it by because it was like, it was making you gag.
No. First of all, I was not gagging. Suzanne, were you gagging?
I was gagging at the arm rubbing.
Oh, not at all. So they basically, she's got to go to the bathroom. Christopher bops in there again. Love
he
it.
He thought it was a sign that they meet in there.
And yeah, love. And he's like, get me out of
there. She said, what spy school did you go to?
So good. Get me out of this. With another great line. I think it says, I said, yes, that's how all great divorces start. But I like that. Look, they have chemistry, guys. You might not like it, but they have chemistry.
They do.
They do.
And how do you, so you, that's what you feel when you see them together. You feel the chemistry.
Yeah. Look, okay. It might be an unpopular opinion, but
no. If you feel it, you feel it. I mean, I'm just,
nobody else in this here show feels their chemistry.
I agree. I feel their chemistry.
I feel
like they have like a friendship, like friendliness kind of chemistry. Yeah. I don't think they have like a romantic kind of chemistry.
I think it's like I feel that way too, Suzanne.
Your first love that you're not in love with anymore, but you that still was your first love that you had a connection with way back in the day. Like, I don't know. That's what I see. Like, there's always going to be a little thing between them, whether it's platonic at the moment or not.
Well, it's not. But also, they have chemistry. I'm not saying, look, Luke may be her soulmate, true love. We'll find out in season 7 how they end up, Danielle. Mm. Christopher and Lorelai have chemistry. They have a connection. They have a thing. Doesn't mean he's the best choice for her, but they've got a thing. They sleep together all the time, you guys. It's not like they haven't slept together during the 6 seasons we've known them.
Yeah.
They do.
You're talking about Christopher and Lorelai sleep together all the time?
Well, not all the time, but they have during the seasons we've known them. They have.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't she sleep with Christopher like right after she ended or was ending it with Max Medina?
Mm-hmm. Remember they were at the house and I think they snuck out.
Yeah.
They got chemistry, guys. They do. Mm. They've had it since they were 16.
Good for you. They don't.
You don't have to like it.
I'm not feeling the chemistry between those two.
That's
sorry.
A debate. Whether
it's
not, people.
No, it's just.
Like the way they looked at each other at the dinner table. Like,
they have such a connection and so many unspoken things. You don't have to like it for it to be true.
I don't. I'm not seeing it. I don't feel it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fine, don't
I'm
be sorry.
Kind of insane.
Fine,
I know. I am. I am. Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's a lot of Amy and Danielle versus Scott and Susan.
I think the battle lines have been drawn.
I think it's also like, I don't dislike Christopher, right?
Yeah.
you guys do. So I don't know if that plays into your not feeling chemistry and it adds to me feeling it. I don't know. But I like that bathroom scene. I was like, are they going to just do it now? Like, I don't know. I'm so like.
You see, I don't know. I thought once that bathroom scene happened, I saw the writing on the wall. I realized what was about to happen. And it was just. I texted the group text this morning. I'm like, I have never been so annoyed at a Gilmore Girls episode in all six seasons. I am so annoyed.
It annoyed me.
It doesn't bother me very much. Do you know
what?
Why? It doesn't. It's like I don't see the chemistry. I don't feel the chemistry, but it really doesn't bother me too much. Do you know why? Because I've got my Jamaican Me Crazy in a cup. And I can always, it's my go-to.
And no,
I can take a little vacation. Like I'm gonna do that.
I think there's something else in this.
You know what's Jamaican Me Crazy? Lorelai in this episode is Jamaican Me Crazy.
That's a great point. I don't know if she's making me crazy.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. She knows Christopher's not it for her. She knows that. Like, she knows that just going back to him is easy. That going back to him, like, that's not her person. She knows that. Whether or not they have chemistry or not, she knows that. And she's throwing away something that's so awesome. Maybe not at this moment. They're going through their difficulties. But she's just like, you know what? I'm going to sleep with Christopher and forget about Luke for tonight. And it's like, why do you self-sabotage all the
we'll also get to ultimatums. I'm not a fan.
No, I wanted her to do that because Luke needed to get his stuff together.
Like, we're not there yet. So do we have dinner first before we go to the elevator? Is it dinner first? Because there was some funny crap in that dinner.
We do. After the London party, we are at dinner.
Okay, so we have the London party first.
And,
sorry.
This is Lorelai at her best.
Oh, my God. Lorelai, are you having some sort of a breakdown? She's so good because she's trying to sort of do her shtick to help Christopher. Man. And it's just so random and hilarious.
Is it bad to have
voices? Our voices in my head normal?
Yeah. How about two?
I only have two. That's big English. I mean, it's too good. It's just too good.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This writing, it's 1920s. It's the Algonquin Roundtable. It's the best comedy writers. It's Benchley. It's Perlman. It's all these great story writers. It's the best of the best. And this is a prime example of it, which is, you know, Amy and Dan are giving a global audience great literature. They're giving them the best of the best comedy writing that exists. I mean, Like a Fox by S.J. Perlman. Tell me you're not going to laugh your ass off. It's just little short stories about, I don't know, 15 of them in there. It's the funniest thing you'll ever read.
I don't know any of those fancy authors you just said, nothing, but you sound super smart.
They were the writers of that time.
What I and do beyond think that is when people say they threw this season away intentionally, I disagree. I just totally disagree. I think this episode they went out with one of the best episodes ever.
There's no question.
I have to just say this. The movies were not their best. I want to redo all those movies, but this was really good. This is really good. So
this is the two of them showing off. Like,
I agree with you.
Look how good we are. Like, I agree. We're just going to throw it down here. So, so something to remember us by.
I agree with you.
Because you ain't getting this no mo. Right?
I don't think they had anything in the first six seasons that was other than Vineyard Valentine and maybe two other episodes that was like poopy. This is like, they're awesome.
Right.
Anyway,
great dinner table scene. We see Linny as a very balanced, very centered, grounded, caring, intelligent person with a sense of humor. And probably way out of Christopher's league. I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Way, way, way out of. And I don't know what she found so appealing in Christopher. Did you think that there was... Amy, did you feel chemistry between Linny?
Look, I think he's a cutie pie. No, there's nothing between Laura Hardin and Christopher.
Yeah.
Linny. But he's a cutie. I could see why, if I were Linny and I've just moved to Hartford and I get invited over and there's this cutie, I'd be like, ooh, cutie. All right. This isn't too bad.
All right. So now we're out in the driveway and Linny hasn't left yet. And she apologized to Lorelai that she's blocking her in and they have a conversation.
That was the only flag I had.
Why?
It was a little bit like, are you okay? Like, she didn't really give me enough indication that she wasn't okay.
No, I thought she gave plenty. Because if you give too much, then it's bad acting.
It
was too much face acting for you.
Right. But
like
it's a little
that.
Random that all of a sudden she's just willing to have a session in the back.
Take
of her
it
car,
from somebody whatever. Who knows. That was very well executed. Right. It was very well performed.
I believe you. And I could have used
I know.
But I believe you.
It was enough. Trust me on that. Because any more would have been indicating, and you don't want to indicate.
Got it.
It
that's
right?
fair.
You
that's,
have to, you, you have to fair. Err on the side of caution, and that's the mistake a lot of actors make, is they just go too far. And she never does, which is why she's so good, right? Anyway, that was hysterically funny edit. It was one of the best edits. Gilmore, when we smash cut right to her in the back of the seat talking about her problems. That's really good. Okay, then. I'm fine. I gotta go. All right, bye. Cut. She's fine. Right. Anyway, my mom.
And two huge revelations from the back of that car right out the gate.
Yeah.
Did you love Max? No, I've never loved anyone until Luke. Wow. I want another
kid.
Which
would include Christopher.
What?
Fine.
How did Christopher get into the scene?
No, because she said she never loved anyone until Luke,
right?
Including Max, and that would also include Christopher.
Well, there were 16. They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very poignant scene, very revealing, very powerful.
Right. And she talks, she says she feels crappy all the time. She can't take it.
And I loved the advice that Linny gave her. Like, it was perfect. It's like, you need to either live with it the way it is or go for what you want and live with that consequence. But either way, you're going to have to live with it. So decide what you want to do. Like,
Now,
stop waiting for Luke and grow a backbone and make your move.
That didn't seem very psychologist to me.
She was giving, I agree with you. She gave too much.
Give advice.
I agree with you. She gave a little bit
than I thought she was overstepping her bounds.
Agree with you there. A little bit. But some give more advice than others.
Yeah, I mean, she left it up to Lorelai. I mean, she was basically, she said, you don't have him the way that you want him. So either ask for what you want or get used to what it is.
That's her making a value judgment that she has no knowledge of because it's patently false. And
it was a hint of an overstep.
No, it's not false. She was absolutely right. Lorelai isn't getting what she wants out of this relationship anymore.
But Luke isn't going anywhere. He loves her. He just needs some time. I thought we established this.
Look, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, you think there's a chance that Luke is going to back out of this marriage?
I'm not thinking anything about Luke. I'm thinking of what we talked about last week, how Lorelai has realized that she's kind of done with the whole thing. So it's a question of whether Lorelai wants to stay in this, not Luke. Lorelai's the one. Luke has shown that this is how it is. And so now it's up to Lorelai to decide if she can live with that or not.
Mm-hmm. She's had enough and she's at her last final straw and this is it.
Exactly. So I don't think it's about Luke backing out. Now we're talking about Lorelai backing out because she
wants to start her life and she wants to have another kid and she wants to get it moving here. Right?
Right. Yeah. Right. And so that's what the psychologist was telling her, like either communicate that to Luke or continue to live with it the way it is. Like, like she said, the only person that can make Lorelai wait is Lorelai.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up to Luke. It's up to Lorelai what she's willing to put up with.
Right.
This is finally, like, I'm going to rate this episode higher than I rated the last couple ones because this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for Lorelai to finally overcome that inertia. And I don't like how she did it. I think she completely went about it the wrong way. But I'm glad that she's not finally, like, you know, lurking behind trees and peeking out from
behind the bushes anymore.
And really the backseat therapy session spawned one of the great lines of Lorelai's entire library. I should have been a monkey. Washington Square, snappy hat. Give me a break.
Hand gesture and everything.
How funny was that? Seriously, you know where Washington Square is in New York City? It's down by NYU. All right, now we're back with Rory and Logan.
I loved this scene.
Thanks. I did too, because it was everything.
Yeah.
It defined where they were in the relationship. Tell me not to go.
And they have chemistry.
Boy, do they have chemistry.
And really good performances, just totally believable. She looked so cute. He's so cute.
He's a master, isn't he? He's
great.
I think he's a really good actor.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was a good scene for both of them. Wow.
Because he's not just a one-trick pony. Like, he went on to do Good Wife and The Resident, and he's really good in both. And he was the lead in The Resident, and, like, deservedly so. Like, that guy's a stud.
He's a really talented dude.
Yeah. And you know, he's on, like, American Horror Story now. I think we talked about that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched it. I would. It creeps me out, but I'd watch it for him, but it's a little too scary.
Well, that was a heartbreaking scene.
Oh, it really was.
Tell me not to go.
That was painful. And the goodbye. Oh, my God. We haven't gotten to that. I'm sorry. I'm jumping.
We're not there yet.
Oh, painful. Oh.
Yeah, I love that scene. All right, now we're back at
Luke's. I felt like the one difference between them two versus Luke and Lorelai is between Logan and Rory, they actually have decent communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Sure. You're right. Right. Like, they actually communicate, like, well with each other.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a good point. They do.
And especially
that's
for being 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is the key, as we all know, mm-hmm. to successful mm-hmm. relationships.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're back at Luke's, and here we come with the big... it starts off very funny, because Ted Rooney doesn't want to pay for a full cup of coffee when he's only had a half a cup of coffee that he drank.
This is a scene. This is a rough scene.
And then Lorelai comes in all hellfire and brimstone, and Luke's got to take it outside.
Mm.
I think we've discussed this, but I think we're going to have a formal discussion of this.
Here's my question for you guys. Her speech. She kind of gives a speech. Is she right?
I think she was. Let me offer my outsider's opinion here. Even though I was in the scene, it was an insider's opinion. I think it was. It got heated real fast,
mm-hmm.
almost to the point of it being shrill.
Oh,
so how is a man supposed to respond to that? Just buckle down and say yes. So I don't know. I'm not, I didn't write it. And I don't know. Have you ever been in a situation like this in your real life, guys? It's a question for you. Have you ever done this to a guy?
I don't. I'm not in ultimatums. I don't like ultimatums either.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the wrong approach.
Yeah,
I don't blame her. I think the two of them needed a confrontation to mm-hmm. like snap Luke out of it and make him realize that what he's been doing to Lorelai is not in her best interest or really in anyone's best interest. But she should have known. I mean, Luke very easily gets knocked off of his axis, and she should have known mm-hmm. better than to come at him like that, guns blazing, mm-hmm. with an ultimatum. And she, but I mean, I can kind of see it because she was very worked up. She was, practically hysterical at that point, and she's just had enough.
And I think he should have grabbed her.
It was the wrong.
I think
approach.
He should have grabbed her and said, don't go. Don't walk away. We are going to work this out. Hang on. And he sort of said, I'm trying to think here. Like, I think he should have not let her walk away.
Yeah. No one handled that situation the right way. Like, Lorelai shouldn't have gone in guns blazing, like you said, Suzanne, but also Luke shouldn't have just let her walk away. Like, he should have said, hey, I hear you. I know where you're coming from. Let's put a date on the calendar tomorrow, or something.
Guys, hang on.
Instead of just letting her walk away.
That thing escalated pretty quickly. And she was screaming at him. And it gets to that point.
I wouldn't call it screaming.
Oh, sure, it was screaming. It was anger. She got angry. She went to another level of anger.
I don't think so. She was assertive.
Oh, sure. She was upset. I wouldn't call that anger. I think it's a girl upset. Just so... Okay. Emotional.
But I don't know that, he was so taken aback by that in the moment and so caught off guard by that anger. Because have we seen her ever talk to him that way?
Not quite. Close. There's been a few.
Because I think
times.
What he was thinking was, hey, you don't listen, rich girl, you don't talk to me this way. I think his back went up. And it was like, whoa, this is over the top, and I'm not having this. Nobody talks to him. Nobody gives me orders, and I've got a situation, and now I've got the woman I love just screaming in my face. So I don't know that there's a possibility that you can come over and just sort of grab somebody and say, hey, don't go. He's not that guy.
I picked up more confusion from him. Like, why is she so hysterical? Like, what is going on right now? And then I think it kind of at the end of the conversation, he did get a little bit defensive, but I didn't really pick up on anger from him. I think he was confused.
Yeah, like, he was like,
where is all this coming from? Because he hasn't been seeing it this whole time. So even though it's been a slow build for those of us that have seen what Lorelai was going through, he hasn't seen that. And so to him, the whole thing was a surprise.
Right. So I was referring to the anger coming out of her toward him, which put him back on his heels. Anyway, I guess in those things, nobody wins, do they?
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we get these nice sweeping shots of we get Sam Phillips. There she is, singing and playing the guitar, and that's Sam Phillips right there. And she's just such a great performer. I mean, I want to go see her live somewhere, you know?
Yeah, she was cool. She was
such a great vibe and such a great voice and such great melodies and these songs. You know, that's a real artist there. All right, so now we're
The door.
Now we go to apartment 4. And a knock on the door of apartment 4. And who is behind door number 4?
Dun, dun, dun.
But are not a troubadour, but not a humidor, but a Christophore. Thank you very much.
And did everybody expect that? Like, Danielle, is that what you, like, when the knock knock, did you know that that was
yeah,
gonna
I knew
up?
It. I knew this was, I literally knew this was happening the second the bathroom scene happened.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying.
And
I wasn't annoyed.
I'm so annoyed. It's just so Captain Obvious. I don't know. I just wish, like, this might be a very unpopular opinion, but I'm just, for me, I just felt like I was watching the same thing over and over and over again. Like, it's the fifth time I've seen this scene. But I was like, why wouldn't like they make Luke hook up with Anna or something? That would have been more entertaining for me, or more shock value for me.
Right.
But
Because it's not Lorelai called Christopher Dane's again. Boy. It's called Gilmore Girls.
It's just, I don't know. I was really annoyed.
I thought it kind of tracked, and I wasn't that mad about it. But that's going to be an unpopular opinion.
Was it soapy?
Was it? It was soapy. Yes,
it was soapy.
And I love that. And 99% of people will hate that. I love that stuff. So that's probably why I was like, oh.
I did too, but I didn't even think it was soapy. I just thought it was Captain Obvious, same, same, same. Do we have a different storyline, please?
But that's the definition of soapy, is Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah,
yes.
That's pretty
you
true.
You see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, pretty true. I guess you're right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there you go. And she goes on.
And we don't know yet. What, maybe they're just going to talk? We don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Because it was soapy, so we know.
Well, because at first she just goes in.
Yeah.
We don't get the
full
payoff.
There's another scene after.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just talking about it.
Because it was soapy, we know what's going to happen.
Because first we get the sad goodbye that was really sad between Logan and Rory.
This soapy thing will happen.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Rory Logan doesn't feel soapy. It feels drama,
right?
But not soapy. That really felt so genuine. And
you want to talk about face acting here?
Yeah.
Hey, Matt Zuccari, when that elevator door closes and he's not looking at her.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never seen a kid more devastated in my life. And it was like, good. You didn't tell me not to go.
Was anybody distracted by Rory's bangs through this?
I was still okay. But the best line is say hi to William and Harry for me. And he says, I love you. And she goes, that's a lot better than say hi to William and Harry.
Yeah. No, her bangs, like sometimes it would be fully across her face. And then other scene or like other takes were across her face. I don't know. The bangs were not consistent.
The bangs were, I kind of liked it. She looked cute. The bangs were fine. The car service for the year, and she's got the apartment for the year and car service for another month. And like the whole thing is just like,
oh. Hang on. She had two chances to stop him.
She's not going to stop him because I
understand that, but he's putting out, he just keeps offering like, hey, because he says to her, I don't want you to come with me to the airport. Cause if you come, I won't get on the plane.
Yeah. That was
so her move was to go.
She you can't be that person.
She doesn't want to be the one to stop him from like growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the reason, you know, like you make that decision on your own that you want to stay here for me. I don't want to make
that
for you.
Right. Don't put it on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she understood what Mitchum was saying. So it's like.
Yeah, I know. He still wanted to hear it. We didn't, but we got some great face acting at the end.
Do you think if the scene with Mitchum didn't happen, that Rory would have tried or would have said, stay, please
maybe,
stay?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
actually.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And now the finale, last scene that the Paladinos wrote during. The run of the initial run of the show was Lorelai in bed with no clothes on. Mm. And then Gigi runs in and says, Daddy, Daddy, is she sick? And I think she's sick in many different ways, with grief, maybe with she's a little, I don't know. She's confused.
Yeah.
She's confused. So the show begins with her thinking about her life and what she wants, and the show ends with her thinking about what she has just done to her life. Is she in a more empowered place at the end of the show than she was at the beginning of the show? What's your opinion?
No, worse.
You think she's in a worse spot?
I do. But
well,
I like it.
Complicated spot for sure.
Yeah. No.
She like started down here, then she went up. And finally voiced her feelings. And then now she just took a big downward spiral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I think it was just really impulsive. And she just maybe subconsciously felt like she just needed to really drive that final nail into the coffin.
Yeah.
And this was... going to be what does it.
I also think when she decided to go to Christopher's house, she decided that she was going to sleep with him. I don't think she was there just to like get, you know, like a friend's opinion on her situation. She went there knowing that they were going to sleep together. I think so.
I think it was a power thing. I think she wanted to feel her power again.
Yeah, and somebody that just loves her.
I wish that Christopher had not gone along with it. Like, I wish...
Oh, come on, though. He's such an unrealistic wish.
Well,
he's in heaven.
I think maybe it is unrealistic
for a character that's spineless? Yeah. You think he's going to do the right thing? No.
Yeah, that's why he's in the show. He couldn't be happier.
That's his character. That's his function.
I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Suzanne, because the last episode he did do good by her, you know?
Right. Like, he's taken the high road and I feel like I have kind of the same feeling about Rory and Logan stealing the yacht. Like, I wish Logan hadn't gone along with it.
Stop it. Right. I get it.
Okay.
Right. It's less soapy. Right. I agree.
Unrealistic, but yeah. I get where your head's at.
Right.
I just wish he instead of like, you know, jumping right into bed with her, he could have like been more of a friend and let her vent or whatever.
But he loves her. He loves her.
That's risky going into season 7 because you don't want to make him too likable. Right.
No, I'm with you, Suzanne.
I understand what you're saying. But if he comes around full circle and he turns out to be, hey, he's a really great guy in this situation, I don't know if they want that. You know.
Yeah.
He has a function as a character.
Here's the unpopular opinion. Aside from the fact that I do like Christopher, look, I like Christopher. Whatever. I like the ending. I like the.
What?
Yes, it's a cliffhanger. It's like, oh my god, it's. It's blowing everything up. It's like, what is happening?
I couldn't have not had a more different reaction.
I mean,
it was not a cliffhanger to me. I literally saw it coming a mile away. I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for the scene. I'm waiting for the scene. I'm waiting for the scene. It came. I was annoyed. And then I was just annoyed. I was in such a bad mood after watching this episode.
I was like, yeah, this is juicy.
Oh my God.
I'm like stoked for season 7.
Really, I'm not. I just was like, I wanted it to be different. I didn't want it to be a Christopher payoff. I didn't.
What do you want, Max? Agreed.
Oh, I would have loved Max. That would have been amazing. I thought that would have been really fun.
Jason.
No.
I was
not Jason.
Luke wasn't going to say yes, because this is just getting us to see. Like, right, if Luke would have done what I wanted him to do, it would have been that could have just been a whole different season 7. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like.
Right. But as a viewer, I'm tired of being dissatisfied.
Right.
Like, I want to get.
That's an interesting point. Lorelai
payoff.
That is an interesting point. That's
and
six,
I am sort of enjoying.
That is 6 years of chronic dissatisfaction for the fans.
Yeah,
that is
I am
excellent
not.
Point.
I'm enjoying the. Point. Yeah, it is. But I'm enjoying the curveball. I'm like, okay.
It's not a curveball.
It's not a curveball. It's a pizza pie in your face again.
Again. Like while you're trying to clean off the other sauce from your face. You're like, again? I haven't cleaned
again,
off my
I get
face
a pie
already.
In the face? Oh, for God's sake. Jesus, again?
I'm not mad about
this
it.
Is what I get for being a Gilmore Girls
fan. I mean,
fan
here's my thing.
This
if
show.
You guys love Amy and Dan, right? You love them. You're like, this is a perfect episode. Then I trust they know what they were doing. And I liked it. So I think they did it. I think I'm like, I'm in.
Mm.
They know what they're doing. I'll ride along with it.
I don't think the fans are too happy with this episode and with this scene.
Well, we'll see.
Well, I mean, I don't think they were too happy with it.
I was.
I didn't like it.
I was at the time, too. I was at the time.
At this point, they're probably saying, you know, I sound like a broken record, but it's like, where the hell's the wedding?
Yeah, but we're not ready for it yet.
No, the fans are more than ready for it. They were ready for it season 1.
Yeah, do like a runaway bride wedding. Like, do something like that.
Do something
cool.
If
there's a wedding,
be positive. Be life-affirming.
Guys,
you know?
Say they ran off and eloped. What is season 7 then? Just them being happy?
How about Luke shows up
April hating Lorelai.
And instead of boinking Christopher, why doesn't Luke show up in an Elvis suit and said, "Hey, lady, or I'm taking you to Nashville. I'm going to marry you," you know, and have a big cheesy wedding. Or something. Why not?
There's nothing wrong with them being happy. It's okay.
Right.
There's exactly. so little of them being happy because there was always you know, a fight with Rory.
Yeah.
Or, like, if Lorelai ending along, we never got to enjoy them being a happy couple.
Yeah. Wow. If Lorelai and Luke ended up together, there's so many outlying factors that can screw things up. April, Anna, mm-hmm. Max Medina, Christopher, like you can have Christopher come back and try to sleep with Lorelai while she's married to Luke. Like you could have all that happen.
Oh, yeah. Right. There's plenty of content.
But it's like this, nothing can stop this love. Nothing. Right?
Well,
it's the way it should have been. Oh, well.
It wasn't.
Hi, Tara.
Oh, no.
Hi. Tara has just joined. Tara, in our last 2 minutes, would you like to give your thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I skip this episode usually, so it's not my favorite. It's a rough one to watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I disagree.
See, chronic dissatisfaction from the fan base because they want Luke in an Elvis suit dragging her off to Nashville or Vegas for a quick wedding.
I don't know what was said, but I don't want to drag it on. But for me, I feel like the worst part was that she went to Christopher. I think if they broke off the wedding and that was it, I wouldn't have been as upset as if she didn't go to Christopher. That's mm-hmm. the part that bothered me.
Wow.
But now I can go back and listen to what you guys said.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be
a good point, though.
Expect,
like if they had, If Luke and Lorelai had just broken up, that would be one thing. But her actually going to Christopher like takes it to the next level.
Yeah, like
the next awesome level.
No,
and then just the next level of torture.
Dun dun dun. We're making a TV show here too, where I'm like the door, and then
it's like turning into like Dante's Inferno. It's like the levels.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. If I was watching this. For the first, I am watching it for the first time, but like back then, I wouldn't have come back for the next season. I don't think.
Ooh, well, interestingly, some people didn't.
Down goes
Frasier.
That's
interesting that you say that because it had a big ratings drop off in season 7.
Yeah, I would have stopped. I would have been like, this is the same thing. I'm done. I'm over
this. Think if you like Christopher, like I like Christopher. So I'm
like Christopher and I'm still annoyed. Like
for the love of God.
From a character's perspective, I enjoy him on my TV screen.
All right.
I did not like this.
What are we giving this episode, gang? We got to wrap this up.
Who goes first? I'll do it. I'll go first this time.
Go ahead. What's your measuring? What's your yardstick? Give the rating and then the measuring stick.
Oh, I thought we give the measuring stick first.
No, you give it second.
I'm giving it 10 Volvos.
10 Volvos.
Marilyn Rice Cub's song about a Volvo.
Oh, okay.
10 Volvos.
Danielle.
I'm going to give it 6.5.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give it 6.5 plates of paella.
Wow.
It's my lowest I've ever rated an episode.
Tara, what'd you...
I'm going to give it 6.7 British flags.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Suzanne?
I went up a little bit on my ratings. Just like I said before, I was happy that Lorelai finally got out of her rut. So I gave it 8 Rory Gilmore astronomy buildings.
Oh,
well done. Well done.
That's a good one.
Funny.
It's a scale.
I'm going to rate it 2 ways.
Mm.
Up until the last scene, I'm giving it a 10, but that last scene, I'm giving a 0.
Oh,
okay. So that's an average. So it's going to take it down to, for me, it's drifting around. It was such an enjoyable episode to watch though. And it was so disappointing at the end. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be down there. Can one scene affect a score that much?
I don't know.
Yeah, but did mine.
I don't know. You know, I just such a brilliant episode, just such a brilliant episode. And then that last scene. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to be down there in the sixes with you guys.
Oof.
And I wanted to give it a 10. For me, it was a 10, 10 all the way, 10 plus. And then that last scene, I was just like, oh boy. So I'm going to give it a 6.737. Oof. Dirty bed sheets.
Oh my God.
An appropriate ending to a disappointing season six.
I'm not disappointed by season six.
But it's such, some of the best writing was in season six. Some of the great jokes, some of the great performances in season six.
Yeah, what really, do we give season six overall? Don't give it yet, but I think over the next, you know, little bit here, we're going to do some special things for everybody before we start season seven. Mm-hmm. I want to know what everybody's take was on season six, but not yet.
Yeah, not yet. All right, so that's going to wrap her up, folks.
Oh, he's wrapping up season six. We only have one season left. What was your favorite line? Did anybody have I gave mine during.
Yeah, we kind of gave them during. Suzanne, what was yours?
Mine was at Richard and Emily's when Lorelai said, it's the astronomy building. You have to be able to see it from outer space.
Right. Danielle, did you have one?
Yeah, mine was three. Sorry, I have to say all three, but it's between.
No, you one and then.
I can't. It's between Patty and Luke. Patty goes, there's nothing sexier than a man in tights. Luke says, stop imagining me in tights, Patty. And she goes, it's a free country, honey.
Tara Sood.
I don't have one on me, but
I have one that we didn't do yet, which I'm sure will break down in pop culture, but I won't be ignored, Dan, because for those people that got it,
I had to Google that.
Tara,
I have a backup if you want it.
I'll take your backup.
My backup was Taylor saying, there's no jumping in the town square.
Yes.
And wait, no, did you get your number one, Suzanne?
What
was your top one? I missed it.
Oh, when Lorelai said it's about the big lettering, it's the astronomy building.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You literally just said that 2 seconds ago. Welcome to the show, Amy.
I don't have a favorite line. The entire episode up until the last scene is my favorite line. There were 20 favorite lines. Best fans on the planet, thanks for downloading. We'll see you next time. Keep the cards and letters coming, and stay safe, everybody. Forget, follow us on Instagram at @IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.